Well, good morning again. Thank you so much for having me. Our scripture text this morning is found in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 38. And just in case Ezekiel is not part of your regular Bible reading recently, let me give you a bit of background. It is the year 586. Ezekiel is 30 years old. About 9 years ago, Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, captured the king and many other leaders in the city, including Ezekiel. Ezekiel is supposed to be an honored priest in Jerusalem. Instead, he is an exile. He was captured by an enemy king, forced to live in an enemy nation. And if that isn't enough, he just received message from home. Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple is gone. What is God going to do? Before we read God's word, let us go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up this time to you. This is your word. It is the truth. It is the only true thing that we hear. Would you open our hearts? Would you burn and wash away the sin that is in us? Would your Holy Spirit give us new life? Would these words that you gave to Ezekiel so long ago enter into our minds, that we might be transformed in our very hearts to love you, to glorify your name, and to proclaim that message of the hope of the gospel to the nations. Pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Yahweh, what I am doing is not for you, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, that you have defiled among the nations where you have gone. So I will sanctify my great name, which was defiled among the nations, that you defiled among them. Then the nations may know that I am Yahweh. I will sanctify you before their eyes, thus says the Lord Yahweh. I will take you from the nations, I will gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you back to your dirt. I will sprinkle clean water upon you so that you may be clean of all of your uncleanness, and I will cleanse you from all your idols. Then I will give you a new heart, I will put a new spirit into your very being. I will turn your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And my own spirit I will put in your very being. I will make it so you can walk in my statutes, so you can keep my rules and do them, so that you may dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and then you will be my people, and me, I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. So I will call to the grain and I will increase it. And I will not give famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field. So you will never again feel the disgrace of the famine among the nations. But you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. You will loathe yourself before your own face because of your iniquities and your abominations. What I am doing is not for you, declares the Lord Yahweh. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and be humbled by your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, on that day I cleanse you from all your iniquities. I will make the cities to be inhabited and the waste will be rebuilt. And the desolate land will be tilled, and the place that was destroyed before the eyes of everyone who has passed by. So they will say, is this not the land that was destroyed? It has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities, desolate, destroyed, and ruined, they will be inhabited fortresses. So the nations who remain around you, they may know that I am Yahweh. I have built what was ruined. I have planted that which was destroyed. I am Yahweh. I have spoken. I will do it. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, this is what I am seeking to do for the house of Israel. I'll increase them like a flock of men, like a flock of holy ones, a flock of Jerusalem during her festivals. Thus the desolate cities will be full of a flock of men, and they will know that I am Yahweh. This is God's word. I'm not doing this for you. I want you to imagine that your home has just burned down. You are sitting in Tim Hortons, or whatever the American equivalent of that is, drinking coffee and wearing the only clothing that survived the fire. It is at this moment that Pastor Jeff comes in, sits down at the table, and he says, I'm not doing this for you. At this point, you're likely having two thoughts. The first thought is, Pastor Jeff is not a very good pastor. The second thought is, Luke is never getting invited back again. But this is pretty much what God says to Ezekiel. And it's actually good news. You see, Ezekiel is in exile in Babylon. In chapter 33, he received a message that Babylon had finally destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. In chapter 36, Ezekiel received a message in which God declared himself to be a good shepherd, that he would come and he would seek the exiled people himself. In chapter 35, God declared his intention to judge Israel's nations, the nations around Israel. And now here in chapter 36, God says to Ezekiel, I am not doing this for you. It doesn't just say it once. It says it multiple times. Verse 22, what I am doing is not for you. And then again in verse 32, what I am doing is not for you. I think there's two reasons that people don't read the Old Testament. One, it's confusing. And the second is that the God who we read about in the Old Testament seems harsh and unloving. And I think we might be in danger of confirming both of those reasons right now. But I want you to understand, as we look at this passage, is that you can understand what God is trying to communicate to Ezekiel here, and that the message that God is communicating to Ezekiel is good news. It is the same message that Christ himself, God made flesh, proclaims in the New Testament. What we are going to see in Ezekiel 36 is that God does not save because of what you have done, but because of who he is. God saves for his own glory. And in order to see that, we need to answer some questions. Like, what exactly is God doing? And why is he doing it? Look at verse 22 again. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Yahweh, what I am doing is not for you, O house of Israel, but for my holy name that you have defiled among the nations where you have gone. So I will sanctify my name, which was defiled among the nations, that you have defiled among them. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh, when I sanctify you before their eyes. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will take you from the nations, I will gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you to your dirt. What is God doing? He is going to save his people. He says, I will sanctify you. That means I'm going to make you a holy people. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to take you back from Babylon. I'm going to take you from these foreign lands, and I'm going to bring you back to your very own dirt, to the place where you live. I am going to save you. And why is God doing this? Why is God proclaiming this message to Ezekiel? He says, I'm doing it for my holy name. God does not save you because of anything you've done, but for his own glory. At Grace, we always give our kids a big idea, a key word, and a surprise word. Helps our kids understand the flow of the text and what it's trying to communicate. But these words aren't just for the kids, right? You're not supposed to tune out now. We adults need these words too. And so kids in the heart, adults, right? This is our key word. This is what you need to keep in mind. Glory. God saves for his own glory. God is telling Ezekiel, you have messed up. You have defiled my name among the nations. And I know you are suffering. You are in exile. Your home is destroyed. And I want you to know I'm going to save you. But you need to understand this, Ezekiel. You are not contributing anything to this process. I am not doing this for you. I am doing it for my glory. So if you take nothing else from this, remember this. God saves for his own glory. So what does salvation mean for Ezekiel? Well, look at verse 24. God says he will bring Ezekiel back home, back to his own dirt. But Ezekiel never returns to Jerusalem. Ezekiel will live out the rest of his life in Babylon as an exile to an enemy nation. So what does God mean when he tells Ezekiel, I'm going to save you? I think there's three things we're going to see in this passage about what it means for God to save Ezekiel. He justifies, he sanctifies, and he reveals himself to his nation, to the nations. This says, Ezekiel, I am going to justify you. I am going to sanctify you, and I am going to use you as my instrument to declare my name to the Babylonians. And he's going to do it all for his glory. So the first thing we see God doing for Ezekiel is that he justifies him. What is justification? This is a word we read a lot in the New Testament. It means that God declares you to be righteous, to be right in his eyes. You are forgiven of every wrong you have done. But you are not declared righteous because of anything you do. Instead, Paul in Romans 5 says this, therefore, since you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. God looks at you and declares you righteous, not because of you, but because of him. You are not forgiven because you have worked up the perfect apology. You are not declared righteous because you have kicked that bad habit or started going to church more often. You are justified by faith. You have peace with God because of Jesus. God saves us not because of anything that we have done. He does it for his own glory. But hold on. The word justification is not in Ezekiel 36. That's true. But what God is doing in this passage is that he is using images that Ezekiel understands, images from the temple, to help Ezekiel understand what it means to be justified. Look at verse 25 again. I will sprinkle clean water upon you so that you may be clean from all your uncleanness, and I will cleanse you from your idols. We see the same cleansing language repeated throughout the chapter. Verse 29, I will save you from all of your uncleanness. Verse 33, thus says the Lord Yahweh, on that day I will cleanse you of all of your iniquities. I will make the cities to be inhabited, and the waste will be rebuilt. What is God telling us? He says, Ezekiel, your sin has had consequences in your life. It pollutes you, and so you need to be cleansed. Our sin is the reason this world is broken. But God says, I am going to remove your sin and the consequences of your sin. I am going to rebuild what has been ruined. Now, we need to be careful here. Because so often as we think that, we start to create this one-to-one equation, as if my sin last Tuesday is the reason for my cold on Wednesday. That there's this kind of correlation here. But Jesus says that's not what's going on. In John chapter 9, some of Jesus' disciples ask him this question. Can we make that Tuesday to Wednesday idea of sin and consequence? And Jesus says this. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. Even your sin and your suffering are a part of God's plan to reveal his glory and to save you. So we cannot make this one-to-one correlation. God is not telling Ezekiel, the reason you are in exile is because you lied to your mom last Wednesday. You see, sin has consequences, and God is going to deal with both Ezekiel's sin and the consequences of Ezekiel's sin. And he wants Ezekiel to know that his sin does pollute him. It is the reason that we have this broken relationship with God. It is the reason that we have broken marriages and families. Sin is the reason that we have cancer and death in this world. And God is going to deal with all of that. At the end of the book, The Return of the King, after destroying the Ring of Power, Sam says to Gandalf, sees Gandalf alive for the first time, and he says this to him. Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened to the world? This is justification. Everything sad will come untrue. But look at Ezekiel. He is still in exile. His home is still destroyed. And we know that he will not live to see Jerusalem rebuilt. So how can he have hope that God will rebuild what is ruined? Ezekiel and we can have hope in God's salvation because there is a present and future aspect to our justification. That there is an element to your justification that happens right now. God is telling Ezekiel, right now you are forgiven. I have taken away your sins and you are righteous. That is true of you. Some of you don't believe that this morning. There are some days that I don't believe it either. And God is saying, for those who have put their faith in me, you are righteous. I will sprinkle clean water upon you so that you may be clean from all your uncleanness. I will cleanse you from your idols. But there's also this future aspect to what God is promising Ezekiel. Look at verse 24. I will take you from the nations. I will gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you to your dirt, to your land, to your home. So there is a part of our salvation that is in the future. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Revelation 21. Such a beautiful picture of what it means for future righteousness. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be there as their God. And I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated at the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Will everything sad come untrue? God is telling Ezekiel, and it's the same message we read in the New Testament. The answer to that question is yes. Everything sad will come untrue. But God does not only promise justification and forgiveness and righteousness to Ezekiel, he promises him sanctification. God sanctifies us for his own glory. So what is sanctification? Westminster Confession of Faith says this, Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Look at verse 26. Then I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in your very being. I will turn away your heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. My own spirit I will put in your very being. I will make it so that you can walk in my statutes, so that you can keep my rules and do them, so that you may dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Then you will be my people, and me, I will be your God. There is some odd language in this passage, and so let's kind of parse that out for a minute. What exactly does it mean to have a heart of stone and to have that stone turned away from flesh and to become a heart of flesh? In short, it means that becoming more like Jesus hurts. Becoming more like Jesus hurts. Think about it this way. If I take a knife and I stab a stone, nothing happens. But if I take a knife and I poke you in the arm, it hurts. He says to Ezekiel, I am going to give you a heart that hurts. Look at verse 31. But you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. You will loathe yourself before your face because of your iniquities and your abominations. What I am doing is not for you, declares the Lord Yahweh. Let it be known to you, and be ashamed and be humbled by your ways, O house of Israel. What God is saying to Ezekiel is, this is going to hurt. At Grace, we like to sing a song called I Ask the Lord. And let me read a few of the lines from that song. It says this, I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith, in love, and every grace, might more and more of salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. I had hoped that in some favored hour, at once he'd answer my request and subdue my sin and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. What is this song saying? It is saying that growing to be more like God, dying to sin, becoming more and more renewed after the image of Christ, it hurts. It's hard work. Thinking about Ezekiel, he is going to live the rest of his life. He is going to have to walk out his faith journey and grow in sanctification in an enemy nation, in the city that destroyed his home. Our family lives in Quebec. In Quebec, Christians are a minority. Less than half of 1% of Quebecers are Christians. What does that mean practically? It means that our kids are the only Christians in their school. That the pressure of the secular culture and the isolation of having no Christian friends is really hard. Maybe here in the U.S. you don't have quite the same numbers, but that doesn't make it any easier to live out sanctification. So whether you are called to grow in grace and faith in Gatineau, Quebec, or in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, it's going to be hard. Ezekiel never changed Babylon. He was simply called to live out his sanctification in that city. So how are we going to live our Christian lives when it is difficult? I think God gives us two powerful supports for our sanctification. First, he says that he will be with us in the process. Look at verse 27 again. And my own spirit I will put in your very being. I will make it so you can walk in my statutes, so you can keep my rules and do them. God promises his own spirit to be with you. I will be your God. Second, he says we can find strength to live holy lives by looking at the end of the journey. Look at verse 37 again. Then again, says the Lord Yahweh, this is what I'm seeking to do for the house of Israel. I will increase them like a flock of men, like a flock of holy ones, a flock of Jerusalem during the festival. Thus the desolate cities will be full of a flock of men, and they will know that I am Yahweh. God is going to make you holy sheep. In Ezekiel 34, we read that God promises that he himself is the good shepherd, that he will rescue his people, and he will make them holy. Now, just a word of note, depending on your translation, some translations say something like sheep for sacrifice or something like that. But if you have the King James Version or you have a note in your study Bible, it'll tell you that what it actually says in Hebrew is, you will be holy. This is what God is saying. I will sanctify you. I will make you holy. It will be hard. But remember, this is the end of the story. I will increase you, and I will make a city full of holy people. Remember, it is God who sanctifies it, and he sanctifies us, and he does it for his own glory. Here's the last thing God tells Ezekiel. God tells Ezekiel that he is going to reveal himself to the nations for his own glory. Look at verse 22 again. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Yahweh, what I am doing is not for you, O house of Israel, but for my holy name that you have defiled among the nations where you have gone. He says the same thing in verse 36. So the nations who remain around you may know that I am Yahweh. So there's a surprise word. It's nations. And why is that surprising? Why is it surprising to read the word nations here as God is speaking to Ezekiel? Well, think about Ezekiel. The nations for him is the city of Babylon where he lives, the city with the king who destroyed his home. And God is telling Ezekiel, my plan for salvation is not just for you, it's for Babylon too. It includes the nations. Listen to Romans chapter 15, verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Do you hear the voice of Jesus in Ezekiel 36? This is not a different God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is the same God with the same plan. God justifies and sanctifies for his glory. And he is doing this that the nations will know who he is. Do you know that your suffering, that your circumstances, that even your salvation are all a part of God's plan to reveal himself to the nations? And who is that? Well, that's us. You are the nations. It is the USA and it is Canada. It is Pennsylvania and it is Quebec. It is Chambersburg and it is Gatineau. These are the nations. Listen, Ezekiel. It is a hard context for ministry. It is enemy territory. I remember a few years ago, we were planning a Christmas party for our Bible study. There was a retirement apartment building just like across the street from where we were planning the party. And I had a great idea. I was going to invite these retirees, very little family, nowhere to go for Christmas. I was going to invite them to a Christmas party. So I made up invitations. I went over to the apartment building, and I got a group of about 10 people, 10 residents, all gathered around, and I was inviting them to the party. I had invitations put out. They took them. They were excited. And then I made a fatal mistake. I mentioned that I was a Christian. I've never seen the mood change so quickly. There's this one woman, she's kind of the back of the group. She yelled at me, told me to stop. She went around those 10 people and she took the invitations out of their hand. She walked over to me and gave me the invitations and told me to get out and never come back. It's hard. It is hard to proclaim the gospel to the nations. But this is God's plan. The people who lived through the Quiet Revolution in Quebec in the 1960s, they saw the abuses of the Catholic Church. The name of God was defiled for them. So God says this, I will sanctify my great name, which was defiled in Quebec, that you have defiled among them. Then Quebec may know that I am Yahweh when I sanctify you before their eyes, thus says the Lord Yahweh. Remember, God has placed you in your circumstances so that your friends, that your family, that your neighbors will know that he is God. No matter how hard evangelism may seem, know this, God will reveal himself to the nations. And he's doing it for his own glory. So that's it. This is what God is telling Ezekiel. He is going to justify you. He is going to sanctify you. And he is going to reveal himself to his neighbors that they all may know and glorify the name of God. But that is not the end of the story. There is one more question we need to ask. How? How is God going to do any of this? A few weeks ago, our pastor preached on John chapter 3, and he pointed out the fact that Jesus in John chapter 3 is actually quoting Ezekiel 36. Listen to Jesus in John 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In verse 5, when Jesus talks about the water and the Spirit, that is taken right out of this sermon to Ezekiel. The water to cleanse for justification and the Spirit to give you the power of sanctification. And what does Nicodemus respond to this great message of Jesus? How can these things be? Listen, God, this all sounds really nice. Being declared righteous, being holy, perfect, The people in Chambersburg repenting of their sins and following God. But how can any of this happen? God answered that question way back in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 35. And they will say, is this not the land that was destroyed? It is like the Garden of Eden. And the cities, desolate, destroyed, and ruined, they will be inhabited fortresses. So the nations who remain around you may know that I am Yahweh. I have built what was ruined. I have planted that which was destroyed. I am Yahweh. I have spoken. I will do it. What's the answer? I am Yahweh. I have spoken. I will do it. It is God who sanctifies. It is God who justifies. And it is God who reveals himself to the nations for his glory. So what does Jesus say to Nicodemus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It is God who does it. A few weeks ago, I had a very hard week. I felt like I did not get my work done. I felt like I was just not fulfilling my calling. What about you? How was your week? Have you failed? Have you sinned? Do you feel like you are letting God down, that the plan is about to go off the rails because of you? Then hear what God is saying to Ezekiel. It's not because of you. God is not saving you because of your work, because of your grades, or because of how good you are. God is not with you on the good on the days when you are awesome, and absent on the days when you have failed. God is with you every day because he is with you to bring about his own glory. God is saving you because of him. He does it for his own glory, that the world may know that he is God. He does it because he has chosen to love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good message, the good news that what you are doing is not because of us. You are doing it to bring about your own glory. Lord God, help us to remember the end goal, that the nations may know that you are God, that we would trust in you for your work to be accomplished in our hearts. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit that does them. Amen.